Please turn to that word in verse 7. Consider these words tonight. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. It would be a wise thing to pray, guard me when I am off my guard. That would be a wise prayer because we are not always on our guard against danger. We don't know what is coming around the corner for us. We are not watchful always against temptation. We don't suspect that we are going to fall. You look back over the days of your life and you will find your failure, they have nearly always been in unexpected places at unexpected times. The thing that you thought was so easy to do, that easy task, the thing that you thought, I will manage this by myself, you scarcely thought that you would need any help. You were very confident in yourself. You said to others, I will do this. I am well skilled in this thing. And you can do it, whatever it was. And yet you fail. The thing disappointed you. It didn't produce the thing that you wanted. Your weakness was shown. And your self-respect and heart was wounded in it. And you have been cast down, as we all have in our life. When you've done everything to guard yourself, to be watchful, there is still a wide margin for that urgent petition. Guard me when I am off guard. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Let us think upon these words. And the first thing that I want us to notice is this, that the soul preservation is divine. The soul preservation is divine. It says, the Lord shall preserve thee. The Lord shall preserve. Or the Lord shall protect. Here is the word Jehovah Shamar. Dear child of God, you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that nothing can come into your life apart from the permissive will of God. God has ordained it. And that thing that comes into your life, it is part of God's plan. Now, do we understand it? No, we don't understand it. But it is what the scripture speaks of. It is part of the fact when we say God is in control, you're also saying God has ordained all things. That's why he's in control. It's not just that he's able, but he's also decreed all things, the scripture says. Everything, you see, is filtered, we could say, through the hands of our loving Father. There are no chance circumstances. There are no random occurrences in the life of a believer. Nothing happens in a believer's life that is purposeless. So whatever you are experiencing right now, there's a purpose, there's a reason in it. Because this is what we read in the scriptures. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, you have those words. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that everything is working out. And yet you say, well, what about all the bad things? What about all the wrong things? What about all the evil things? This is what the scripture says in Genesis 50 and verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it for good. So the thing happened, but God meant it for good, unto good, to bring to pass something. There is something he has planned. There is a purpose behind it, as it is this day to save much people alive. That was the purpose. Now, did Joseph feel happy? Was he enjoying the experience? No, it was evil against him. And yet God was planning something He didn't see, he didn't know what was coming around the corner in his life. Calvin says, whatever thou shalt undertake or engage in during thy life shall come to a happy and successful termination. The termination, the end of it, will be a happy one. And this is what the Lord says. The reason for it is because the Lord is our divine preserver. The preservation of our soul is divine. It is God involved. It's not chance. It's not luck. It's not us. It's not others. It's not the government. It's the Lord. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. And this is what we see then here when it says, the Lord shall deliver thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. And the second thing is this that we learn is that this soul preservation is complete. It is complete. In verse 8, we could also say it is eternal because it says even forevermore. But we'll look at that, God willing, next time. But it says the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. How much? All, it says. That's how much. This kind of an expression is used elsewhere in the scriptures, of course. In Psalm 91 and verses 9 and 10, this is what we read. The psalmist writes this, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Interesting, isn't it? Solomon records in that proverb, Proverb 12 and verse 21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. So to reiterate, God will not let anything happen which does not work for good to those who love him and know him. Hard as it may be at times to believe this promise when we are in the midst of that fiery furnace and fiery trial of affliction or trouble, however hard it is at that time, it may be all black, it may be all confusing and dark, and you're tired and you don't know why the Lord is doing those things. As hard as it may be, the Lord is saying that it is happening. His promise is that he will be our preserver. He shall preserve thy soul. That is his promise to us. At the very end of the Apostle Paul's life, the great apostle testifies in this way, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, he says to Timothy. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And there in Psalm 121, all evil. And will, he says, Paul says in 1 Timothy, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So God is assuring you, dear child of God, you Christians, as you live in and live for God, you live in the Lord. We are in Christ and we are living for Christ. As you live in the Lord and for the Lord, that you will be secure. That's what the Lord has promised. Even though mere faith is not meritorious, even though your faith is not going to merit you anything, but God has said that he rewards and he blesses those who believe and trust in him. Friends, if you make God your refuge, if you make him your habitation, you will find him to be your refuge. Those who dwell in God will find their dwelling protected because they are in the Lord. This is what Spurgeon said. We must make the Lord our habitation by choosing him for our trust and rest, and then we shall receive immunity from harm. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He will keep your soul. He shall preserve your soul. What an encouraging truth this is. This is not what the world will tell you. And even at times, Christians forget these things. And they become so concerned and worried. And this reminds us of Peter's affirmation regarding God's ability to protect. God is able to protect. He's all power to protect. This is what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 onwards. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, the hope of the Christian is this resurrection of Christ. This is our joy. This is our hope. He is risen. And this is how the saints of the past, this is why you read martyrs, they're willing to be burnt alive. They didn't take their own life as being so important to them. But they wanted to serve the Lord. They knew their timing of their life was in the Lord's hand. And Peter says, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away." And then it says, reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is being preserved and reserved for the Christian. It's not going to fade away. And then he says this, who are kept, who are protected, who are preserved by the power of God through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein, he says, ye greatly rejoice. This is the thing, the Christian is rejoicing. He's not filled with fear and doubt and concern. I am in the Lord's hand. I am in the Lord's hand. I rejoice in him. He is my rock and he is my fortress. I shall not want because he is my shepherd. He will keep me. He has power to keep me. I can't keep myself. But the Lord is in control, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, he says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. How have you done in your test? How have I done in this test, this trial, the testing of our faith? Don't we sing the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose? He will never, no, never desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. That's what we sing about. Do we believe it? The spiritual life, especially, that God will take under his protection, our soul. He shall preserve thy soul, he says. All that there is in us, he preserves us. All of the people in this world are his. All souls in this world are his. But especially his people are his. Because he's made them his by the shedding of his son's blood. And he says, he shall preserve thy soul. Soul is the man. And so he will preserve us specially. And how is that? So that we may not be defiled by sin. That we may not be disturbed by affliction. He will preserve us in that. He will keep us in that. We believe that. He will keep us by keeping us because he has us. He possesses us. He preserves us from perishing eternally. He gives us eternal life. That river of life of Jesus Christ runs through us. It never stagnates. Why is that? Because he gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that flows in and through the child of God. So Peter refers to this. He says later in chapter 2 and verses 24 and 25, he alludes to God's soul-keeping power in summarizing what Jesus Christ has done, his redemptive work, and this is what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 24, who, that is Jesus Christ, his own self, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And then he says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd. Unto the shepherd. We have returned unto the shepherd, that is the guardian, that is the keeper, and the bishop, that is the overseer, the one who watches over you and guards you, the shepherd and the bishop of your soul. See that? That's the hope, that is the assurance of the believer. So friends, God not only keeps his own people in all evil times, and we are going through evil times, but trust in the Lord, he will keep his people. But he also has promised that he will keep us from all evil influences, from all evil attacks and actions, from evils themselves, from all evil. Thus, this is a far-reaching word of covering. It includes everything. It excludes nothing. The Lord Jesus Christ used this illustration of the hen gathering his chicks. And these people are under the shadow of his wings. The Savior gathers his chicks. The Savior gathers his people under his wings. And he guards his people from all evil. Be it great evil, small evil, be it temporary things, things that will pass away, and also eternal evil. He keeps us. And there are two people mentioned here in the text. One is the Lord, and one is us. Those are the two. The Lord shall preserve thee. Jehovah keeps the believer. Not by agents, not by angels, but by himself. This is something he does himself. And the person who is protected is definitely pointed out by that word, the, his people. So my friends, it's not your what you possess that is going to be kept. It's not your name that is going to be protected. It's not those things that will be shielded. Your soul, that's your soul. The very man, the very person. And then he adds further, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Jehovah will keep thy soul. So he shall preserve thy soul. Someone has said, if the soul be kept, all is kept. If the soul is kept, all is kept. So if he keeps the greater all, the greater soul, all the lesser things, the smaller things in life will be kept too. The things, the small things that we worry about and concern about, they will be kept too. Isn't it true? Some things you worried about years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. You don't even think about it. At the time, it was important for you. But you look back and you see, it's only a small thing. It wasn't worth my worry and my care. So what are the things that you will be kept from? He shall preserve thy soul. What are the things the Lord will keep you from? Our soul is kept from the dominion of sin. Sin shall have no dominion over you. The power of sin is broken from the child of God. Yes, there is remaining sin, but power of it is gone. The dominion of it has gone. Yes, there is a battle going on. Friends, there are two battles you could be having right now. You could warring against God, or you could be warring against flesh and sin. Who are we warring against? Is it the Lord? We are going to lose. But if it's sin, then the Lord will preserve us through it. That is, he keeps us from the infection of error. He preserves us from the crushing of hopelessness in our life. He keeps us from the being puffed up with pride. He keeps us from the world and the flesh and the devil. We are kept not just from certain things, but for certain things too. We are kept for holiness. We are kept for greater things in life. And also, the scripture says that we are kept in certain things too. We are kept in the love of God as well, all the time. So we are kept from certain things. We are kept for certain things. We are kept in certain things. And we are kept unto the eternal life, eternal kingdom, and glory. What can harm a soul that is kept by the Lord? So think about these things. The little verse, but in summary, the Lord is saying, Jehovah is your helper. The Jehovah is your personal protector. The Lord Jesus encouraged his 12 disciples before sending them out. What did he say to them? In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But, he says, rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Think on that. Because the Lord is the one who keeps his people, the soul of his people. And just before we finish, I'll illustrate what we have been thinking about in the life of the Apostle Paul. And that point is recorded in chapters 20 and 21 of the book of Acts. You remember in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul, he calls the elders of the church at Ephesus. He rehearses to them of those things that has happened to him. And then he says this in Acts chapter 20 and verses 22 onwards. He says, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there." So he says, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what is going to come to me, but I'm going. God has called me to go. It's a save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So this is certainty. Think about his safety. You think about his security. This is what's going to await you. What is he going to do? Is he going to say, well, I have to mind for myself and care for myself? He says, no. He says, but, in verse 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. He says, I don't want to be a miserable person in somewhere, being safe, miserable, alone by myself, without the Lord, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That was the thing that was burning within his heart. And later, when he hears the prophecy of Agabus, of what would happen to him, and that he will be imprisoned, that he will be persecuted when he comes to Jerusalem, and people are pleading with him, don't go, don't go. He's at peace, he's at rest in the will of God, because he trusts in the sovereign God. He trusts that God is in control, that even if these things are going to happen to him, it will be for the furtherance of the gospel. And it was. It was for his own soul's good. And it was. So he says in Acts 21 and verse 13, "Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That's what's going on in his mind. Yet these Christians around him didn't see it. My friends, you may lose all your earthly possessions. You may lose your health. You may struggle with all kinds of things. You may not be able to sleep. You may not be able to go through a day without pain. But you never will lose your soul if you are in Christ. Because Jehovah is the keeper of your soul. And when the Lord Jesus promised his disciples that, but there shall not an hair of your head perish, he was not promising the preservation of their physical life. Don't think that. One of their hairs would not perish. Don't you think? Was the Lord speaking literally there? Really? Do you think no hair fell out of their heads? Of course, the Lord wasn't speaking literally in that passage. In Luke 21 and verse 16, he just clearly stated to them that, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death." But that promise that the Lord was giving about their hair will not perish, it was about the fact that they would not suffer and they would not lose things eternally. They would suffer no eternal loss because God keeps their soul of all those who belong to him. Do you believe this? Do you live as if you believe it? Are you sure about this? Paul affirms with the psalmist these thoughts as he writes in Romans chapter 8, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." He's saying the same thing. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. May God give us the faith, trust these words. Amen.